All right, hey guys, welcome to episode 6 of Gen Talk. Today's episode is called Collaboration Over Competition. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Katie.
And we're really excited to dive into this today and kind of tell you the heart behind why we want to talk about it and just really stress the importance of women and men alike collaborating instead of competing with each other because, like Katie just said before we hit record, we all need each other.
We are better together.
Yes, we are always better together. And I think especially, you know, we always kind of circle things around social media and the way things are in the world right now. Everyone's trying to compete and look out for number one, and that's just not the way to do it. God didn't design us to be alone and climb to the top by ourselves. We're supposed to be walking alongside each other, helping each other out. So you can do that with a lot of different things, but today we're really talking about creativity and how you don't have to do it alone. So it's been really cool to meet people like Katie and a lot of people she's introduced me to, who are writers, who are doing podcasts, who are doing websites, whatever they're doing. You know, we're all on the same kind of journey, but we're not competing against each other because we all have different strengths. So
I have recognized a trend lately in a good way. That people are sharing the things that they know freely.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, at least the podcast that I have found and listened to and been so inspired by. There was a new one I just stumbled upon called Blog Fuel. So I'll put in a plug for that. And her name was Kirsten Thompson.
Oh, I need to listen to that.
It was, and she has different people on there that she interviews, and all of them are sharing kind of what they, their niche, if I said mm-hmm. that correctly, but an area that they have an authoritative voice in, and that just means an area that they've really just kind of worked from their bare bones up and mm-hmm. learned stuff about and are willing to share everything that they know. You don't sense people holding on to things with their hands closed.
Yeah.
They're living open-handed, and that is so refreshing to see, especially historically, women do compare themselves more.
Right.
If you are living in the magazines that are right at your face when you're checking out at the mm-hmm. grocery store, the way that people look, you know, it's always been on the outside comparing what they look like on the outside. And I feel like men, and I might be wrong, in the workplace, and you've worked more in the secular world than I have recently.
Mm-hmm.
So the competitive market might be the same for women and for men.
But yeah.
That they'll step on whoever
to get wherever they
want, and it's a ladder that they'll do anything to climb up.
Yeah.
I guess I haven't felt like, and it might be the world that I'm immersing myself in, but I feel like there's so many people that want to help.
Yeah,
and in the process, like one girl was talking about email marketing, and she was pretty early in that process. And she said all of a sudden it started to take hold and a lot of people were doing it. And she felt like, oh, no, now I'll lose mm-hmm. my momentum. But she didn't.
Yeah.
People started emailing her going, okay, you've been doing this for a while. Like, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And just out of loyalty and friendship and goodness, you see people that they're not just throwing people by the wayside. It becomes more about a person.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Well, it's really, I've noticed this too, that when you try to hold on to that information, it ends up hurting you instead of helping you. Like, when you're the first one who's doing it, because I've been there where I've been like, oh, I got to that person, now everyone's doing it, so it's not even, like, my thing anymore, or whatever that may be. But if you're trying to hold on to that and, like, harbor that, then you're going to fall behind instead of being like, great, like she did. Like, yeah, I was doing this first, so let me help you. And I recently have had an issue with like planning like certain events or things like that. And I said to my roommate the other day, I was like, you know, that was my idea and I haven't got any credit for that idea. And it was 100% like I said the idea and a group kind of took it and ran with it, which is awesome. But for a split second, I had that that selfish, like, well, I wanted someone to be like, that was Caitlin's idea. Good job. You know, that's all I wanted. But in reality, it doesn't matter because it's an idea that is helping other people come together and it's going to do something for a lot of other people.
But see, I think that's the beginning of it, is the fact that you admitted it and that you shared that you felt that way. Because we all sort of feel that way at times in our life. And if we don't share that, then we start to harbor resentments and we'll sit and we'll feed it. And you actually came to the point where, like, it is for the greater good.
Right.
And if you don't care who gets the credit, it's imagining how much good and work can be done in the world.
Yeah.
And you're learning at a younger age to mm-hmm. hold things loosely.
Yeah.
And that is good.
That's good. That's a good phrase, hold things loosely. Because I feel like when I have held on to things tightly, like we talked about last week with dwelling on things, then it does just eat away inside. And so...
The scripture that says, just about living open-handed, but it's the things that we release,
mm-hmm.
like in a seed, has to be scattered and die to multiply.
Mm-hmm.
So it is the things that we let go of that can multiply, that if we hold on to them tightly, at best, we have only what's in our hand.
Right. That's so good.
And it is good to remember that.
Yeah, just to really, really just to let everything go. I mean, there's nothing worth, like,
and there's nothing new under the sun.
No.
I have to remind myself
yep.
of that. It's a great thing when mm-hmm. you hear quotes, because half the time I am just a big sponge of all the things that I've heard from or read or listened to or watched. I don't really know if there's anything novel,
mm-hmm.
but it might be new to me and come out in a different way.
Right.
So I'm very, I feel like everything I say, I'm like, I'm sure somebody else said it. But in reality, that's true, because there's nothing new.
There's nothing
under
new.
The
yeah.
sun.
That is very, like, comforting.
Mm-hmm.
So that you don't feel like you're copying anyone, but also if someone copies you, they didn't mean to copy you.
No. And you're like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Hopefully, if it was me that they gleaned it from, I don't care if they remember me.
Yeah.
But it's something that's helping them propel forward.
Right. That's so good.
It is. It's nice when we all remind each other of that, because I don't want to walk around and copyright and then worrying about patenting
yeah.
everything.
Getting sued for saying
the
wrong thing.
That's just, we are a sue happy culture as well.
Yep.
But at the same time, there's a lot of good stuff out
there.
Yeah,
we just need to share it.
That makes
the world better. Well, tell everyone a little bit about Our City on a Hill.
Okay, we both have, we actually have come together on these things, but a couple of years ago in 2014, a friend of mine and I went to Catalyst Conference in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
and our takeaway when we left that day was, the questions were, who are you, and what is important to you, like what breaks your heart? And so we thought about all the dividing lines, which we've talked about, and we thought about our city in particular, like what can we go home from this conference with, and not just be another conference. If we don't take it home and do something with it, and the things that we're passionate about, how does that all blend? And so we were thinking about, you know, how do you take down dividing lines, and what would bring our city together? And so there's the scripture, it's Matthew 5:14, it's a community, the name of the site is Our City on a Hill, but it's a community site dedicated to uniting believers in the name of Jesus and sharing the glory of God in our city. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. And that was Matthew 5:14, the message. And so our thoughts were to come home and just kind of, we had no idea what we were doing, and start a blog or a website. So we kind of went through a hosting site, and we were going to have like a soul food day where there was a post that was a devotional, and we would have people submit from the city. Anybody could write and
mm-hmm.
submit. Then we had a testimony day where people would submit their testimonies from our city. And then there was a pastor's page, and pastors would answer three questions from all over the city and all denominations. And the common thread was the gospel. And it was really to bring out the God colors in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And through this, over the past 2 years, to see all the different people we would have never met
mm-hmm.
that really have come together in this virtual world, and the common thread is the gospel. And when we came up with, like, our vision and mission statement at the beginning, it was, the vision statement was I'm looking at the website right now, to show others the goodness of God, because he called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. That was simply the vision. And the mission statement was to unite believers and bring out the God colors in our city so that God is glorified and the lost are found. And that kept it simple, and it kept it scriptural. And it was something that everybody that has contributed in the city has completely, like, that was their heartbeat as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've seen generations come together. We've
yeah.
seen racial divides come down. We've seen denominational walls fall. We've met people and had meetings face-to-face with people. The very first testimony that we had on the site was a woman who had an affair, but God had restored her marriage.
Oh, wow.
thousands of people. And not only that, but she offered herself up. It's like, if anybody is in that.
I remember you telling me about this.
I mean, like the very first person to share her testimony. But she offered her face to be, you know, a source of someone to sit with and like, you know, you can do this. And if you're on the verge of doing it, don't. And that is the benefit of doing something like this in the virtual world, but in your city, is that you can make relationships that you actually can meet face to face. And Caitlin and I are both on our city on a hill, a part of that. And our hope and our prayer was that it would be something that, whereas our city on a hill in our city is connecting the God colors and the bright spots in our city, is that then city after city after city would have their own local website that was our city on a hill.
Right, yeah.
And then you would start to see these cities connecting, which just makes me think of the Great Commission. And then it would be global.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd see nations that were connecting bright spots.
Yeah.
And so our prayers that that'll continue. And as we've done it, like it started out, we had a post every single day, which was too much.
Yeah.
And you learn as you go. And we learned how to do graphic stuff while we did it, like graphic design. And we realized that like a daily little, there was like a daily verse prompt. And that was awesome for a season, but it became too much. And now it's really become 3 days a week. The first day is prayer on Monday. And we have a local prayer warrior who forever, before we even did this, we're not even sure, I don't remember how we met in the first place now, but she was sending out an email, like emails of just prayer over this city.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, I believe our city on a hill is definitely a fruit of years of these prayer warriors that have been praying circles around this city.
And that's so cool for them to see that come to fruition.
It really is. And so she had quit through the years sending out her emails, although she still had a core group that of older than I am, that she would go around and they would go to certain places, and they took on like the Seven Mountain Prayer. It's really praying over the areas of influence in your community. And she kind of took over the prayer page, which was our Monday day, and then Wednesdays and Fridays became the soul food and testimonials. But really, it's kind of turned into whatever somebody submits in our city.
Yeah,
they submit it and it goes, and their face, and they have a small bio that we have them submit, and it is a community effort, and it has been
and it's
absolutely
so cool
wonderful.
To like, I met like so many of the different people who write for our city on a hill, and I would have never known them otherwise. And it's really cool when we like kind of went around a circle telling about why we write and why we love it, just their stories. And none of them were alike. I mean, no one, everyone in the room loved writing, and no one loved writing about the same thing. And the only common thread we all really had was the gospel and God. And it was just really cool because there was like a single mom, and she was, you know, wrote about things that related to that. And the woman who owned, I wish I could remember her name, but she owns the gas station. I don't know that she writes for our city on a hill, but she owned the gas station and turned it into a restaurant and started writing little stories.
Yes, Grace Grocery. She sure did.
Yeah.
And she's awesome.
It was just cool to hear just different people coming together for one thing, but they all have different stories. And that's what's so cool to me about our city on a hill, that no one is alike. It doesn't have like, you don't have to be a certain type of person to write. Or to read it, you know?
No.
That's what draws so many people in to read it.
Men and women alike. Because oftentimes you think, with blogging, it tends to fall. At least the ones that I even listen to. Although there are some productivity ones that I listen to. And some pastors, is like churches,
that are
men. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them are women that I listen to.
Yeah, same here.
But just today, I want to share this prayer from today. Because today was the prayer day.
Yeah.
The Seven Mountain. It was the family mountain that was the concentration today. But it was also around mental health and pulling back the blinders on the mental health issue, because it is such a, there's still such a stigma attached to it. But it was, in all their suffering, he also suffered, and he personally rescued them. And in his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them through all the years. Isaiah 63:9 says, "The Father of love and comfort, we bring before you all the families in our city that are struggling with mental health issues. We ask you to surround the afflicted with caring friends and family who are looking to you for wisdom and direction. May there be provision to cover financial needs incurred. We join this city in crying out that the light of truth will dispel lies and the oppressive power of the evil one. So many are in need of healing of long-standing wounds of mind and soul. May they encounter the comfort and the joy of the Holy Spirit and be able to grow in grace as we walk with them throughout their ordeal. We declare that many will renew their trust in Jesus and follow him boldly, even in affliction. We pray the anointing of love from your Spirit and proper training for first responders, counselors, pastors, and medical professionals as they deal with those in mental health crises. May the body of Christ grow in our ability to comfort, pray, and minister inner healing and deliverance to all in need. We offer prayers to the, and they actually, in these particular emails, they call out the CEOs of different mental health facilities our city. So other cities, if they would do the same thing, and they say their name, and they say their behavioral health establishment, and they call out all of these, and the number of beds, the 74 beds lost with the closing of certain areas. So they pray over areas that were closed. And they also pray over the needs. Like it said, this includes a new 16-bed facility that they're hoping for. And it says, may your peace, freedom, and healing flourish in these centers. And so I wanted to read that one in particular because this area is so tight to my heart, just especially around the holidays because people struggle so much with anxiety and depression and feel alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. There's not one family that has not been touched by mental health issues.
And you never know.
There's a big spectrum of what that means.
Yeah, because you just never know when someone feels sad or depressed. I read something that my little brother had posted, like, I mean, it's been months ago. And he's very young, but I had written a blog about him. And he kind of like in a reply posted something. And one sentence that really stuck out to me. I mean, this is like a happy kid with a great life. But he said in that post, when I read your blog, he's very wise beyond his years too, but he said, when I read your blog, I realized that, someone does care about me and that I'm not alone because I did feel like I was alone. And I mean, obviously like my mom and dad are great and they love him and we love him, but somewhere along the way, the enemy told him you're alone, you know?
And you've told him repeatedly, verbally, but we never know.
You never know what someone's dealing with inside their head. And That's
fall fresh on somebody. And so relating to that post today, I have, there's another friend that is a part of this team as well. She's an eye doctor on the team and whose testimony is beautiful. She is from India originally, and I'm not even going to try and tell you her testimony because it wouldn't do it justice. But
you can
she
just go on the site and read it.
Yes, her name is Rika McCroy, and she is on the site. But she sent me a text today just sharing that there were two people in the community that had mentioned how much they needed a mental health prayer, and they were both men, and said that they had had family members that they had struggled with repeatedly through the years, that they had had to institutionalize, and they had just really just, they grieved that they never knew if they made the right decision, but they desperately needed to know that they weren't alone, and that others were, you know, families were holding each other up, and that they know that they have a community that supports them and doesn't sweep these issues under the rug. And, that even when they can't pray for themselves, that they have a community that's praying for them.
That's a huge thing to know.
Because you don't ever really know. You have the statistics, but especially with a site like this, that is not what we're looking at. You know, it's the numbers. You hope that God's doing what God can only do and that he is spreading his message. But that he really is, like, he gave us the vision, the mission statement, and he's connecting the dots. And he's like, you have no idea.
Yeah.
No idea the light that I'm spreading. And you just keep doing what you're doing. And everybody stay in your row and write like you write.
And do what really you're called matters. To do.
Yeah. So that's one collaborative effort. And now Caitlin will share one that God has placed on her heart.
Yeah. This one is really just, like, still in my head and on my heart. So this is cool to talk about it, I guess, to someone besides Katie. So to whoever's listening, you're kind of getting an exclusive. But there is a community, a young professionals community here in Huntsville, Alabama, where we live. And a guy started a group, and it's a co-working night, so that another collaborative effort, which has been really cool. People of all different walks are coming together, graphic designers, coders, writers, teachers, I mean, no matter what you do, just to be able to come together and do exactly what it's called, co-work, and kind of teach each other things, learn from each other, and work on projects. There are a lot of people here who are into startups that are starting their own businesses, and so it's just that was kind of the launch pad. So I had the idea to do a co-working night session, I guess, for women who blog, because there wasn't one for bloggers, and there aren't a lot of only female groups. And, you know, I told him, the guy who's over it, I was like, we could do everyone, you know, men and women. He was like, no, I think it's great that you're going to focus on women who blog. And I thought of it because there are a ton of friends I have in this community, whether it's Katie and people from our city on a hill, or some people I know from college that moved here, and we all write, and we write about different things, but that's kind of our love. We all love to write and read each other's stuff. And so in doing that, God just kind of laid on my heart, why don't you start a website like that? So it's very similar to something like Our City on a Hill that's very much collaborative, a lot of people writing different things. But I kind of want it to be, I'm the kind of person who likes a million different things, and I've always felt like that was a weakness. But to make that a strength, you know, to have someone writing about food and someone writing about...
Jeff Goins, mm-hmm. who's one of my favorite podcasters.
Yeah.
He calls it the portfolio life.
There we go.
I don't know if he coined the term, but someone did, and he uses it. I know that's the name of his blog, which I love.
The portfolio life.
But there's a
life.
Name for that.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay.
It's okay.
To love a lot of different things. And... okay, go
ahead,
sorry.
Yeah, but you know how the world kind of makes you feel like, no, Sometimes, you should focus on one thing. And in my world, that has always been something I've been told. Well, if you would, I mean, I have been told that from millions, not millions, but it feels like millions of people. Like, if you would have just focused on this one thing, you probably would have been really good at that. You know, if you would have focused on, like, basketball in high school, you might have gotten a scholarship, but I wanted to cheer and run track too, you know? So it's always been that kind of thing. But instead of woe is me and feeling bad about that like I have, I want to, you know, let that be something beautiful and have people who are writing about food and writing about fashion and writing about being a mom and writing about being a 20-something and writing about being single and write about faith and whatever you want to write about, but all on one site. And I think that with the way things are in the world right now, instead of being divided into different sections, like, why not all be on one site?
And we all have something to learn
from each other.
Each different row.
Yeah.
Like, I have something, I don't cook, but I have a friend who is divine, and she makes food art.
Yeah.
And so to hear her talk about her love for cooking and the way that she cooks and the way she displays it, I would be so much the poorer without her.
Right.
And to know that,
same here, I don't like to cook. And for a long time, I also felt like when I heard people like that talk, oh my gosh, like I should be cooking. You know, I should learn that. But no, like that's her thing. And that's not my thing. But I love to hear people talk about their thing, you know?
Right.
And that's kind of my idea behind the whole, and it's called Babes Who Blog. So the whole premise is just women who blog about whatever. Just being on one big site, and that's
not... Will everybody be local? Is your goal to keep this local?
I definitely want to start it local, but if it got bigger...
So people can meet each other?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, but if it got bigger and someone wanted to contribute from wherever, I would love that. You know, I think that'd be even better to have someone...
Kind of like that, like the whole, its own category of like the guest blogger from wherever.
From Australia, like whatever, yeah. Big ideas here.
Yes, you're international and you're national and you're local.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, like you said, I like the local feel of people being able to meet up, and that's what this whole co-working night is. And so our first meeting's on December 14th, and we would meet once a week and be able to work on that website together for that allotted time, which that's a huge deal for me to sit down and have time set aside to work on something specific and to have people to help. And I, you know, I've invited a lot of people responded, and they're graphic designers. They don't want to write, but writers need graphic designers to.
Absolutely.
Because I've learned the minimum of graphic design, but I'm not an artist. Like, these people are artists, and that's so cool to me. But I need them. Instead of, like, having to try to do it all myself, for them to put their touch on something I write, I just think, again, instead of competing and trying to learn all this and be like a one-man band, like, to be able to use each other's gifts and help each other, it makes something really beautiful, like Our City on a Hill and Babes Who Blog and
people you never would have met before, how your paths will cross.
Yeah, and that, like, you make friends with it, and, you know, I have my own blog, and I always am like, oh, I wish it would do better, and, you know, I'm not really feeding it like I should, but it kind of hit me, and God kind of said to me, well, maybe something you're working on with a lot of people will do better because it's going to help more than just you. And I was like, okay, great, you know. Maybe people will still read my personal blog, but I don't care where they're reading it, if they're reading it and getting something out of it.
Okay, that's just where I was in the Bible this morning, in Nehemiah. I'm at the beginning, and the Bible plan I used this year was just, it broke it up into 7 sections, so today's Monday. Monday's always day 3 of the week, and so it's history. And so, but where they were working shoulder to shoulder, and they worked on the wall that was right in front of them, and it went down the list of people that were working on the wall. Well, none of them were builders.
Yeah.
There were perfume makers and goldsmiths and Levites, and there was royalty, and there were servants, and they all contributed right outside their door.
Wow.
But they never quit doing, there's never any indication like, oh, they're not a perfumer anymore or goldsmith anymore. Or there's the only list you got was that there were some nobles that would not work on the wall in front of them. And I was like, well, that's not noble character at all. So I love the fact that, I mean, the part of it, the element that gets us shoulder to shoulder working in our city, beside each other.
What chapter in Nehemiah was that?
This was 1-4 was where I was.
I just
morning.
Want to go home and read go it right home. Now.
Oh my goodness, it was so good. And they made such progress, and this was huge too, is that every time they made tremendous progress closing the gaps, and the more gaps they closed, people started making fun of them.
Yeah.
And then when that wasn't enough, they got angry. So it really just, it's like every time we do something out of the box and we start to pull down dividing lines and close gaps, we ought to expect opposition.
Yep.
And that's just going to come. But it didn't make them fall to the ridicule, and it didn't make them run. All it made them do was, is they kind of, they stayed focused on the job at hand. They stayed together shoulder to shoulder, and they didn't despise the day of new beginnings, like the small beginnings.
Yeah,
like
that's
they
good.
They started the work, and they kept working.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, that helped me so much.
That's
like
good.
And you do get rejections, and you get harsh comments.
People are going to make fun. And
absolutely.
I have to remember, I still am in that process of...
Fear is the root of those two, too. The people that ridicule and the people that are angry, the underlying is fear. It's something they don't understand or they're not a part of. However, they can be as much of a they
but they're
be a
not
part
right.
Of
and I think a lot of that, like you said, it's fear. It's jealousy. It's, you know, why are you doing that and what am I doing? You know,
something
kind
they
of
don't understand.
Something they don't understand. And I've had to. I think anytime you're going to do anything creative, and it could be something very small, I have to remember every time social media to me is it's a creative outlet for me.
Me too.
Anytime I'm posting my thoughts and my words, which I try to really use it for positive, there's a chance someone can be rude. And I ran into a girl the other day, and you know those comments that are you can tell that they're being very fake, like they're covering up that they were really making fun of you. You know what you know what I'm saying? It's like an underhanded. And she said something like, "Oh, I told another girl like we all knew each other, went to college together. I told another girl, oh, I've just been reading all of Caitlin's posts, so it must be a sign." And the way she said it, I knew was a lie. And I was like, and she had just got a new job. And I honestly and truly was happy for her. And I just looked at her and I was like, I'm so happy for you. And I was like, well, you weren't being rude that I was like posting positive things. But in that moment, instead of like, oh, no one likes me, and I'm sad, and I did that for a second, and then I thought...
Then we expel the spirit of offense. I will not be offended.
No, because it's, again, a call for love.
Yes.
It's a call for love.
Yes.
And she needed that love, and in the way she was talking, she had been going through a really hard time and was making a transition for a new job, and I really, I just wanted to hug her and be like, it's okay. Like, you went through something, and it's a new beginning. Like, this is good
for
you.
In those moments when I can see something like that, I try to put myself, and I was like, I could see me feeling that way, you know, and even falling at times to actually writing it and pushing published, and I'm glad that I didn't.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's like you put yourself in somebody else's shoes,
yep.
And we do decide not to be offended.
I'm not gonna
be offended.
It
was a call for love.
It was not against me.
And but for the grace of God, there go I.
Yep.
Yeah. And these are huge. I'm so glad, like, you at your age. Are, like,
well, it's
I don't think
really,
I got it at your age.
It's hard. I think it sounds like I get it.
A lot.
Well, I'm when I tell you I got it, it took a while. You know, it was like I went through what I shouldn't have gone through. Before, but it's gotten quicker. Like, it's gotten like...
And that is the point. We're never going to have it all figured out and together and completely be rock solid this side of heaven.
But that's why we have to be together.
That's right.
We're together.
Moving in that direction.
Yeah.
I'm better than I was.
Exactly.
I'm not there yet.
No.
Okay.
We just got to do
a lightning round.
Katie is really good at looking up these lightning round questions, and I am terrible at it. I forget until I get here, and she's like, hey, I'm looking up questions, and I'm like, I forgot.
Okay. First one. I guess we're going to make this one relational. Who was the oldest relative that you remember as a child, and what do you remember about them?
Okay. I guess my great-grandma, Mama Evelyn. And I actually was just talking about this to my mom the other day. So she actually was, like, very poor. But when you're little, you don't know what poor and rich even really are.
Isn't that great?
Isn't it great? Mm-hmm. And this is why it's such a... It reminds me of, like, my innocence and, like, I thought everything was great. But she was... I mean, when I told my mom this, she kind of laughed. Like, really? My favorite part of Christmas was going to her house on Christmas Eve with all of my cousins. And they... I mean, the house was not big or nice or anything. It was a tiny little house, and we were all crammed in there. But I just remember, like, sitting there and playing games with all these people, and I knew Santa Claus was coming that night. So I knew when I was at her house that he was coming. And I just remember her always being there on the couch because she was very old. She got sick. But she's who I remember the most from when I was little, and I just think of Christmas Eve, which
That's
is so happy.
Memory.
But yeah, but now I know, I'm like, she was very poor. I mean, it was like, I would be sad to go there now, if that makes sense. You know, I would feel...
You would feel like she...
Didn't have anything.
And she was so happy.
She was, yep.
Okay,
what about you?
Was Grammar. Grammar was my dad's mom. Her real name...
Grammar, that's cute.
Hattie was her nickname. Grammar was her grandma name.
Mm-hmm.
Hattie is what people would have called her here, but she was Swedish, and her name was really Hedvig Metzi.
Oh,
And Grammar made a killer cherry pie, and I remember the cherry pie, and then I also remember Grammar had to be in a hospital bed in our house before mm-hmm. she died. I didn't until later in life. My mom explained why I have these memories because I had dementia, but she would scream from upstairs from my father going Fletcher, and then she would get behind us like on the couch and Bertha and I'd be watching Soul Train, and she would rip the sleeping bags off of us and scream, Fletcher! I love Grammar. So,
you loved it.
Cherry pie, hospital beds, Hedvig Metzi,
yeah,
and Screaming Fletcher.
Screaming Fletcher.
Okay.
Love it.
And, cultural, do you remember a popular either clothing or hairstyle? That was
oh gosh!
When you were young,
you know what I just thought of when you said clothing?
What?
It's those bubble shirts. They were tiny, and they would stretch one size fits all.
I don't think I know about the bubble.
Oh,
shirts.
Why I did, and I loved them. You have to, if you don't know what they are, you have to Google them because you need to Google it.
Okay.
It's a very specific material, and if you were like a '90s kid, you know what the bubble shirt was.
I was in college in the '90s.
Well, it was a one size, and you got it, and you stretched it and fit it on you however you could.
Okay, I'm going to Google the bubble shirt.
Yes.
Okay.
What about you?
Mine was the mini colors Benetton.
Okay.
Esprit and Guess Jeans.
Okay. Guess Jeans.
Mm-hmm. And then
Spiritual.
Okay. If there was a biblical hero as a child, could you remember, like, was there one Bible story that would have been like, he was my hero?
That's good. You go first.
Probably would be... I just remember singing the Father Abraham song.
I was just thinking that.
Did he have sons?
I guess.
Seven
sons had Father Abraham.
There were 12 tribes of Israel.
I don't know. I do remember that song, though.
He had more than seven sons.
I don't remember
this is pitiful.
Thinking of it, like, having anyone as, like, a biblical hero. Yeah. I don't know. later in life, I just started, like, just recently, just reading about women. We actually did the Women in the Word study with She Reads Truth. And, like, the women in the Bible are, like, my heroes now. Because I'm like, wow. Even the, the girl, she has no name. But she,
Well, or the adulterous woman.
The one who bled and went to just
the woman that bled for 12 years.
And she just wanted to see Jesus. And they were all, like, mean to her. And she was like, no, like, I have to touch him. And he loved her. Oh, I love that story.
Yep. And he's like, who touched me?
Yeah.
And everyone was touching him. But even his power went out.
And even though he knew who touched him, like, he still asked, like, who touched me?
He likes to talk to us.
I know. I love that story.
Me too. Okay. So, I like her. And Abraham. I guess he was my childhood. Noah had a big boat.
We all love Noah, yes.
But yeah, so I think those are our questions. We hope you collaborate.
Yeah.
And also, don't compete. Don't compete in the show notes today. Like some of the websites that we might have referenced and things like that, like names we might have met, like Jeff Goins, and kind of give credit where credit's due, people that have influenced us. And then the websites for Our City on a Hill and Babes That Blog and, things for you to check out and hopefully to spur your creativity too. And, we are at your disposal. If there's any questions, if you have any amount of knowledge or anything that we have, our hands are open to you.
So let us know. Give us a review. Tell us what you like and what you don't like. Just be gentle with us.
Please be gentle.
All right.
We would love to make things better. We hope we always are growing better.
Yes.
Better together.
Better together. We love you.
Peace out.
Bye.